Welcome, witches. Welcome back to another episode of the Still Rooms Grimoire. I'm your host, April Ekwiland. And so, okay, Mercury retrograde is over. We're just in that post, echo period. So we might be seeing some things kind of happening, but hopefully things are getting back on track for everyone. Because let me tell you, this one was a freaking shit show. I usually try not to let Mercury retrograde get to me much. I notice things, but this one, man, it kicked me hard. And I don't know if it was because we also had the eclipse and, we had a new moon and we had a full moon before. I don't know, but it just hit me so fucking hard. And like to the point where I just wanted to stay curled up in a ball on the couch and just, waiting until it's over, like waiting for it safe to, until it's safe to come outside, So, definitely some things that I'm going to be that I started working on that I'm going to continue to work on, and some things that I'm trying to get out there and manifest and all of that. But man, yeah, this one really, really hit me. Things that could go wrong did times like 10, and it just, I don't know. It was just a lot. So I'm hoping that your retrograde was that you survived it, that, you're doing okay. And that if this was a bad one for you as well, that hopefully now that we're past it and Mercury is back to doing its thing and we're just kind of getting out of that period, that things will start being on the up and up again. So today's topic, I wanted to go over some things when it comes to different tools, different things that we use in our craft. And I get asked a lot in the shop, like what are some things that you use, or why do you use certain things in a certain working? So I figured I would go over some things that I like to use. And I picked about three, maybe four different things that I want to talk about. And the first one is our keys. Keys are a big one for me to use in spell work. And a lot of people think that, the reason that you use a key is because you follow Hecate. And definitely could be, if that is a deity that you work with, keys are her thing. She is the keeper of the keys. So I can definitely see that. And I do work with her on occasion, but keys have always been something for me. I have always been drawn to keys. And I remember growing up, if I found a key, especially if it was like an old key, a skeleton key, or just an old key, I would just tuck it away and keep it and just didn't know what it opened, but it meant something to me. And I'm still kind of like that now. Any kind of even key decor, I even like to use. But keys, if you think about a key, what does a key do? It unlocks things, but it also locks things as well. So think about using a key maybe in a new manifestation. You're unlocking new possibilities. Maybe you're inviting something in. And the opposite, maybe you want to lock something away. Maybe you use a key in a banishing spell. You want to remove something. You want to lock something away so it's never seen or heard from again. When we unlock we go clockwise, and that brings stuff in. And when we lock something, we're going counterclockwise, and that's closing something. That's like closing a door. You are locking it, and you are not going to behind that door again. You know, keys let us access things, and it also lets us lock in our intentions. When we lock something, it doesn't necessarily mean that we always have to, that it always means something bad or painful. Think about the lock bridges that they have. I know in Paris, there's a lot of cities all over the world that have lock bridges where people will go, they get a padlock, some with keys, some without keys, but they will put this lock on the bridge, and it is a symbol of locking something in, attaching something to yourself. So think about a key that way too. You know, when you're locking something, you're not necessarily always wanting to send it off and never see it again. Sometimes you want to attach it to you so you always have it with you, or you want to attach yourself to a place. This is another good way if you are working with like keys and locks, to leave a lock with a key. This one has to have a key in a place that you really want to connect to, and you like to connect to the energy, and you want to be able to have access to it. So you would charge this lock and this key to this place. So obviously you have to be in this place, and then you would leave that lock somewhere in that place, and you would keep the key. And whenever you need access to that place, then you would use that key. You would, you know, hang on to that key, meditate with it, add it around spell work, place it on your altar. But I think it's a really cool concept, especially if you want to really connect with the energy of a place. I've done it with objects before, like crystals and jewelry and talismans and statues and such, but I've never done it with a lock and a key. And I think next time I travel to some of these places that I've been to, where I want to really connect to that place's energy, I think I'm going to bring some little mini locks and some keys. I have some dirt, obviously, from those places as well that can connect me to that land. But to have this key that goes along with this lock, I really like that idea. So with a key, you know, we can, like I said, we can access things, we can put stuff away. It has a lot of different meanings. We can go on new journeys. You know, think about all the places we use keys. Keys take us places. You know, when we have to use a key for a car, or, you know, a key to a new space, a new home, it takes us places. So maybe think about how you can incorporate using keys, symbols of keys, even a picture of a key, or heck, you can even draw a key on your space or on a piece of paper. Or maybe if you like to do sigils, you can include a key somewhere in your sigil. It's all about how you want this key to be. And I really love using keys in my practice. I really do. Another thing that I like using are mirrors. And sometimes mirrors freak people out, and you hear, you know, all the time on social media about people are like, oh, don't use this mirror and don't face it this way and do this and do that. Well, okay, you know, if you're one of those people who thinks that a mirror is a portal, then yeah, you want to make sure you're locking your mirrors, you're putting your protections around them and so on, and doing whatever it is that you need to do. I like using mirrors. Do I think all of my mirrors are portals? Not necessarily. Because there's ones that I work with regularly just for different spell work. Now, I do have a black mirror. a mirror that I created, I consecrated for a specific purpose, and that does stay wrapped in a black cloth. So it only comes out and is only seen when I need it and when I want to use it. But I have mirrors everywhere. I literally have a wall of mirrors down in my living room at my house. I've been decorating with them. I can't take credit for the idea, because when last year for my birthday, we went to the Abracadabra down in Disney, down on the boardwalk. And where we sat in our booth, the wall behind us was just mirrors. It was just different mirrors of different shapes and sizes. And they were all just kind of just set up in this awesome way. And I'm like, I want to do that for the house. I want to do that for the house. Because contrary to popular belief, we're going to get a little bit off topic here. But contrary to popular belief, my house, a lot of people think that my house is decorated like the shop. My one room is in my house, but the rest of my house, not so much, because I have cats. And, you know, they like to knock things off of stuff. So I can't really place stuff anywhere, but on the walls, I can. So I decided I was going to start making the house look a little bit more like the shop. And I started collecting mirrors, antique mirrors, mirrors that I found at thrift stores, just that I thought were freaking cool. And little tchotchkes and little like picture frames and little things that I would put up in between them. So it kind of made like this big gallery wall, but it's mostly mirrors. And I love using mirrors. They can absorb energy. You know, we can feed energy into the mirror. Like I mentioned, we can use them for divination. Like I said, my black mirror I use for scrying and divination. We can use it for reversals. Have you ever heard of doing a mirror spell where you want to send something back and it's going to bounce off the mirror back to whatever it is you're sending it back to? I have also used mirrors to amplify things. I have set out under various moon phases. I have a big mirrored tray that I use, and I've placed stuff on there so it gets amplified. So that energy comes down, it hits that mirror, and it amplifies back up into the objects that I have placed on it. You can use a mirror to get people to see things, whether it's like a truth spell, or maybe you just want people or yourself to see certain things, see things for what they are. So we can use mirrors. Mirrors aren't all bad. I know a lot of people, because of what they hear and see on social media, they get freaked out about mirrors. But I absolutely love, love mirrors. And I've even made a mirror bottle, and it has no mirror in it. But what it is, it's a bottle, just a clear glass bottle, and you add water. And I did add some food coloring to it. I made it a little blue, and then you add oil on it. And, you know, oil and water don't mix. So it's kind of like the oil acts as the reflection for what's underneath. I did it with some spell working a long time ago, but I love using mirrors. So if you're not afraid to use a mirror, definitely try using it in your workings. I have purchased a bunch of antique mirrors that I use in workings, little handheld ones, little pocket ones. The cool thing was, I think my most interesting one, it's this tiny mirror. It's like no bigger than a credit card. And I bought this antique purse. That's another thing I like. I like collecting antique purses and little handbags and stuff, especially like the embroidered ones or the beaded ones. Anyways, I brought it home and I opened it up, and I was just going through it so I could get ready to hang it up on my wall. And there was this little mirror in there, this little tiny mirror. It's just this mirror. It had a little bit of writing on the back from a company that it was, I guess, made for. And it's no bigger than a credit card. And it's just this tiny, tiny mirror. And so I have that to use in workings. I have a hand mirror that I got in an antique vanity set that is absolutely gorgeous. It has this like brass detail on the back, and in the center is an amethyst stone. It came with a brush, and then it came with a mirrored dish. So again, using a mirror, but now I have this dish that I can add stuff in. I love mirrors, and I will be adding more to my downstairs. I have a whole nother wall that I can add some mirrors to. But anyways, try using some mirrors in your practice. Don't be scared of them just because of what you hear, you know, the little stories that you hear on social medias. If you are worried about it, especially if you're getting like an antique mirror, I know a lot of people are just freaked out by antiques in general, thinking that they're going to bring something home. But if you're really worried about it, make sure you're cleansing it. I cleanse my stuff. I use incense, you know, smoke cleansing. I have also used it where I have just wiped it down with some Florida water. I have locked some of my mirrors, where I just use either salt and water or a little bit of my Florida water and dip my finger in it and draw my protective symbol on the mirror. So you can definitely, definitely work with mirrors, and they are a great tool to use with your practice. Another thing that I like to work with are skulls. So mostly I have used like resin skulls. My husband's 3D printed me some skulls. I have some skull candles. I do have a few skulls that are from animals that were ethically sourced, basically just found out in the wild, that I have used. But skulls are really great to use for any kind of psychological work. Kind of think of getting into the mind, whether you need that, whether it's for you or toward somebody else. It's the connection to our third eye. It's the connection to our crown. So maybe you'll have a bit of a hard time opening up that third eye or connecting to that crown, connecting to that higher source. Maybe you use a skull to represent you, like a skull candle, dress it, carve into it, use herbs with it. And that's your spell. You know, the skull is the house of the, you know, it's the house of the mind. It allows us to tap into our spirituality, allows us to tap into that energy. It can be also used if you're doing any kind of ancestor work, if you are doing any death work, if you are doing any ceremonies where you are honoring the dead. You don't have to just use skulls when it's spooky season. You can use them all year round. And I love even just decorating with them. Any kind of skull imagery, I just absolutely love. And it really does make you kind of think about things and think about how you can focus on things. And maybe if you're having a little bit of a hard time, maybe connecting to your practice, maybe you can't get out of your head or whatnot, maybe incorporate a skull, maybe see how you can add that into it and see how it goes. So, okay, here's the fourth one. I've said I'd probably do four. So another one I use, and it is not anything, anything of a surprise, but I do like using graveyard dirt in my workings. And I have talked about it before, but I have graveyard dirt from specific graves. I have graveyard dirt from some family members, and I use it when they are necessary, when I want to connect their energy. Maybe they're the working that I'm doing, I want to use their energy to help aid in the working. I have used it when I want to connect to that space again. I've used it just when I just want them there. I just want their presence there. So graveyard dirt is amazing to use in your practice. And if you don't have like family members that you can get dirt from. And even with family members, remember, you still have to ask for permission and you still want to leave an offering for them because you are taking something of theirs. But you can go to a cemetery and just get it from the entrance gates. Again, you want to leave an offering. You want to be respectful. You want to ask for permission. But you can just use it from there because that's hallowed ground. And just using that energy to connect can be helpful. So these are some things that I like to use. And maybe I gave you some ideas of how you can use some new tools in your practice. These obviously aren't the only things that I use in my practice, but they are a great addition. And sometimes people don't think about them, especially like with the keys and the mirrors and everything, because they think, oh, in a working, we just use, you know, candles or herbs or oils, and we don't think about adding anything else. And I love to add things, use different tools to my practice. So I want to leave you with this. I mean, I gave you some ideas, some things, maybe some new tools you can try. But when you're out and about, whether you're out shopping or you're just out in nature, you're just roaming around and you see something that kind of strikes your fancy, just be like, hey, how can you use this in my practice? What could I use this for? And you will be amazed at the stuff that you can gather, that you can use for your practice, that maybe somebody would think, oh, you can't, you know, that never heard of that. You can't use that for your practice, but you can. You can use anything for your practice. And think about the meanings of things. You know, when I'm buying things for, or even just collecting stuff out in nature for my practice, I do ask myself, okay, what can I use this for? How can I use this in a working? I'm going to bring this into my space. How can I use this? Can I use this more than once? Or is this going to be a one and done kind of thing? So these are some things that you want to ask yourself and then just take it from there. So hopefully these were helpful for you. Like I said, these are just some things that I like to use in my practice, and I continue to constantly add different things as time goes on. And maybe you will too. And maybe this will give you some different ideas on how to use these things in your practice. So I hope it's helpful. So this week's card of the week is the Hanged Man. So the Hanged Man, as you know, you could be put into situations where they're not quite comfortable. Sometimes people put us in situations, people places things, and sometimes it's ourselves. And this is a time where we might need to just kind of reevaluate things, look at things a little bit differently. We just came out of Mercury retrograde. That was the great hermit card season. That was a great time to reevaluate and refocus. And the Hanged Man is kind of similar to that and gets us to look at things from a different point of view. And maybe some things during Mercury retrograde and during this hermit time maybe put us in situations where we need to just take the pause. It's kind of forcing us to take the pause and look at things a little bit differently. So maybe see how you can do that. Still be gentle with yourself. We're still in that echo period of retrograde. Still allow yourself some self-care, but allow yourself to look at things differently and look at new approaches. You know, you have some new ways of maybe incorporating some tools into your practice. So maybe look at that. Look at things a little bit differently. All right. So thank you so much for joining me this week. This has been a production of The Still Room, music by Breakmaster Cylinder. And I will talk to you all soon. Make sure if you're not already following us on Facebook and Instagram, remember it's Everything is just going to be under the shop Facebook and Instagram now. So if you were following us on Facebook and Instagram for the podcast, it's still there, but I'm not posting there because I got too many. I just got too many accounts that I got to deal with the shop. And you can access the podcast on the shop webpage anyways. So I just figured I'm just going to be posting it on the shop page, you know, give it a little bit of a change up there. But if you are not following the shop page, definitely do that because that's where you will also get podcast information as well. If you are on Facebook and want to join a little online community, we have our Awaken the Witch Facebook group. And we also have Miss Raven on Instagram, Raven the Shop Cat. She is on there. Gets posted on there, her antics at the shop as well as at home. So yeah, so until next time, take care, witches. Blessed be.